Welcome back to the Hatchcast. I'm Aaron Richard. Today is our season finale of season 3, and we're taking a deep dive into the realm of startups and what is being framed in the media as a startup slump. We'll explore what we're doing here at Michigan State University to impact and perhaps in our case, reverse that supposed slump. We're enlisting the help of co-producers Emily Anderson and Gabe Hales, who sit down with Jeff Wesley, who is the executive director of the venture capital fund Red Cedar Ventures, and Tom Stewart, program manager for a business accelerator called Conquer Accelerator. These individuals have a critical interest in ensuring startups are being created, that they grow and thrive and have the resources to do so right here in the Greater Lansing region and across Michigan. We're so excited to have you here again for this season finale, and we hope that you enjoy it. Now, on with the show.
This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by Spartan Innovations. Spartan Innovations provides the educational and financial support necessary to turn MSU research technologies into successful Michigan businesses and spur entrepreneurship at MSU and across Michigan.
Startups are in a slump. For the last decade, startup innovation has been diminishing, and that has important consequences. If we think about the law of unintended consequences, we're basically saying an action that happens today, we don't know what happens the next several rounds. For instance, we don't know how big tech companies monopolizing a field and making it harder for other companies to get anywhere, what that impact has on the economy. Instead, large tech companies buy up smaller tech companies and displace competition. This sort of displacement has a chilling effect across the economy. In a surprising op-ed by Chris Hughes, who is the co-founder of Facebook, he says, in the past 20 years, more than 75% of American industries, from airlines to pharmaceuticals, have experienced increased concentration, and the average size of public companies has tripled. The results are a decline in entrepreneurship, stalled productivity growth, and higher prices and fewer choices for consumers. I would even say that we could see the ramification being in stale wage growth. We could see that in people not starting businesses, because what happens to those businesses is they get gobbled up. The consolidation and concentration of large businesses has caused startups to slump across the board, and that has led to a decline of new and young businesses since the recession in 2006. Startups today play a critical role in making the economy as a whole more productive. They invent new products and approaches, forcing existing businesses to compete and fall by the wayside, compelling others to move forward. This is the whole engine of our free market economy. This is how economy is supposed to work. But in today's day and age, we don't see that. We see consumerism and consumptivism sort of taking over. We see larger companies gobbling up profits, and innovation and growth is gone. Well, not gone. That's hyperbole. But what happens when that competition is gone? Does the Facebook of 2020, 2030, 2040, does it just keep growing? Does it just keep monetizing our likes and dislikes? What happens and what is the next step of innovation? On this season finale, we will be taking a deeper dive into the startup slump and what we're doing here at Michigan State University to reverse that slump. We're enlisting the help of co-producers Emily Anderson and Gabe Hales, who sat down with MSU Hatch members, entrepreneurship faculty here at Michigan State, placemakers, thought leaders, and influencers. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. I'm so excited to welcome back into the studio, as if they've walked down a hall somewhere. We've got Emily Anderson and Gabe Hales. Hi, welcome to the conversation. Good to see you guys.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Not that we haven't been working with each other all morning long, sweating ourselves into oblivion.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, right? So today, I think you guys got some questions that you've been working on.
So the question that we reflected on is, how do we break out of the startup slump? So one person that we really wanted to talk to about this is Jeff Wesley, and he is the executive director of Red Cedar Ventures.
So we have today Jeff Wesley. Do you want to describe a little bit about what Red Cedar Ventures does?
First of all, it's just great to be here today and share some time with you guys. Red Cedar Ventures is the early venture fund for Michigan State University. We're kind of that final mile as new innovations get incubated at Michigan State, whether student or faculty. We're that early seed fund that comes in and tries to provide them resources, help coach them, and help them move down that commercialization track to greater success.
Perfect. And we described a little bit about that startup slump. So our first question is, do you think we're in a startup slump right now?
Well, I think it's an interesting question. It makes me set back a little bit because I'd be interested to learn more about those statistics, particularly on a geographic base, what they look like. I can say over the last month, I was blessed to be at the Michigan Growth Capital Symposium and other events. I think startups are thriving here in the Midwest. I've never seen such a focus on startups. There's more venture funds and more angel funds. There's 4 new angel funds in the state of Michigan in this last year. There's more venture firms in the Midwest than ever before. And so I think that's generating more people that want to get involved in startups. So I don't think that's a trend that I'm seeing. But on the other hand, I do think corporate entities are seeing the power of disruption with new technologies and innovations that are happening. I do think they're getting more involved with these companies early on. So that might be setting a tone for more companies looking at licensing and other things that could be hurting that trend. But I don't think anytime soon that innovation is going to be at our forefront as we move forward.
Right. And I know that we talk about student startups a lot. And do you think that students are really eager about starting their own business and being an entrepreneur? Or do you think they're more scared or hesitant to start that?
I think there's always emotions that come with starting a startup. But I do think it's a really exciting time as you look at the next 10 years. Personally, I've got 2 young daughters in my family. I'm amazed at how creative and talented the young individuals are today. And I'm also amazed at how easy it is to have a startup today. Unlike the old days when you had to put up buildings, you can do a startup on a computer today.
Right.
And if you align it with the right resources, it can be very successful. I don't see that changing. So I think this is a great time. The thing I worry about the most is that young people see the opportunities before them today. Too many times it's easy to take that corporate job. Too many times when you're in college or you're looking at opportunities, these corporate people are coming at you and telling you this is the way to go. You know, that's not for everybody. A lot of people want to own their own business. A lot of people want to be there and create something special. And I really think the world sets you up for that opportunity today. And if you look at success, there's some people that are having remarkable success starting up companies, more so than the people going in that corporate traditional pattern.
What kind of advice do you think that you would give someone who has a startup and they are offered that either corporate position or for a bigger corporation to buy them out? Do you think they should still continue with their dream, or do you think they should give in to that kind of situation?
It'd be hard to know and walk in that person's shoes at the time. The thing that I always find remarkable about people is we kind of grow and learn and develop ourselves. If we're talented once at a startup, we can probably do it again. And many times people fail before they get to their startup that's successful. So I don't think an exit is a bad thing. I think you'd have to look at a lot of factors. Where is the company at in the stage of their growth? Do you have the resources to run that final mile, as you might say? Or does it make sense to kind of balance the upside and the downside and take a little money off the table and move on to your next startup?
Even though a buyout does sound scary and like your control is being taken away and your idea, which you have like a feeling in your stomach where you're like, I made this. Like this is my little baby here.
Take your baby, yeah.
And so if somebody were to come and try and take my project, my creation, it would be a hard decision, and you really do have to weigh the options of, is it worth getting this sum of money for something that I've slaved over and oftentimes failed and then grown and then failed and grown and failed and seen the creation and the love that you have for this thing? So
I think some advice I would give is somebody that's been through exits and somebody that has had a hard time letting go of their baby and somebody that's constantly, as a person even today, trying to get better in my personal skills. You always have to step back from every situation and look at it independently and look at the pros and cons of it. And I typically find when you do that, it helps you get to the right answer. It isn't easy to let a company go. but you'd rather let a company go and retool yourself
yeah.
and be in a better position for more success if you're a year away from running out of capital. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But also the thing that you just pointed out in the conversation is you have to look at yourself and say, what have I learned? I'm getting better every day. It's not just about the company. It's about you and your personal brand and your personal experience. You got to put all those things together, and ultimately that'll lead you to the right decision. Almost every decision, don't look back. After you make the decision, take the goodness from it, take your failures from it, take your experiences from it, put those in a nice little toolkit and move on to what's next. And whether it's personal or business, you should always be doing that. And at the end of the day, if you're continuing to grow as a person, you'll end up in a good spot.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really love what you said about if you have that mindset and that ability to grow a company, to start a company, it's not like after you sell one or stop with one, it's like gone. You still have that, those values and the work ethic. Yeah, you learned and you built from that. So, of course, if you either a company fails or you sell it or you stop, you still have those ideas and you can grow another one just the same. You have that entrepreneurship mindset. Yeah, and I really love what you said about mindfulness, too, about how looking at everything in the present, which is fantastic.
And when I started my career, I didn't know coming out of college what I wanted to do for sure. And obviously, at the end of the day, when I look back 30-some years, what I enjoyed most was that entrepreneurial experience running a company. I didn't like being a big corporate company. Each of us finds our own way. But as we find that way, you just need to find what makes you happy and where you can succeed and be successful.
So what do you think lies ahead within the community and entrepreneurship here at MSU?
You know, I'm excited about it. Even though MSU has been here for a number of years, I think we have a lot of great momentum. I'm a big milestone guy. I'm a big guy looking at trends. I see better startups coming out of the university. I see more talented people working on the startups. I think our ecosystem in terms of supporting everything that's being developed is getting bigger and better. I think in the coming years, you're going to see some really cool announcements and just see more success as you define success here at MSU.
Mm-hmm. Even just being around here, I think I've noticed such a confidence in a lot of the students and the student startups. Like, they are just so hungry to, like, do more, and they don't ever stop. If they do one startup, they usually have another job that they're doing, too. So it's, like, so many things that they're involved in, and it seems like they just want to do the most with what they have here.
I admire all the people that have started or failed or continued to stay around within our ecosystem. People that are in our innovation center and the TIC here, they continue to give back. I think that helps build the confidence in others that we can get there. And I think it's also good that they're humble enough to share their stories that it always didn't go right the first time. So that helps pick people up when they're having a bad moment. And together, I think all of that in a cohesive way helps everybody be successful.
Absolutely. So I think we're going to end with this question. What do you think the next breakout market will be?
You know, there's a lot of great spaces right now. There's cryptocurrencies, there's blockchain, there's AI. I think the healthcare space here is crazy cool in terms of all the things that are happening in healthcare to bring new innovations. You know, I recently saw in the last number of months where you can do a robotic surgery, probably of somebody here in this room, and the person's in Kuwait or somewhere. It's just wild, the stuff that is being developed, that's coming out, and the impact it can have on all of us in a positive way. And I hope that innovation continues. You know, everything is changing so dramatically today. I just hope we do our best to really harness that and create a better world and better opportunities for people.
Along those lines, here at Michigan State University, we are doing a lot to push ourselves forward and innovate our current startups and current companies and current students into the next step of their business and their ideas. We are trying to push everything that we are doing here into the next level and into that next realm of innovation where we can succeed and we can break out of that slump that we are currently in. And everybody here, as you have heard, as you have probably seen if you are a member of the community here, we are really trying our best to get out of that and to push students into that next area. A TED Talk that I found incredibly interesting in that topic is by actually Bill Gross, and he talks about how he analyzed hundreds and hundreds of startups and hundreds of different variations of how these companies were created, and he found through it all that the number one most important factor in getting a company off the ground and making it become successful is the timing of the launch of your product or idea. You could have the best idea in the world and launch it at the worst time, and nobody would give two shits about it, excuse my French. Or you could have the worst product in the world, launch it in the perfect time, and you know what? A lot of companies have succeeded in that time frame. When the timing was perfect and the public was not ready, or they were perfectly ready for that product, and even though it was not the best created idea, it was still pushed out and the public adopted it incredibly easily as they were primed and ready for that idea. Another belief that I found incredibly intriguing is the idea that no matter what, you should always, and this goes along with innovation, it goes with entrepreneurship, it goes with art, is you should always truly believe in what you were doing. No matter what, you should not back down from what you believe in, the idea that you stand behind. You should fully love and grow what you are. You hear the slogan all the time about how if you love what you do, you will never work a day in your life. A good example of this is, of course, Mark Zuckerberg at 22 years old, and of course, founder of Facebook. He created this company out of his own dorm room. It was just a little side project for students, but of course, after a few years, he was actually offered a deal with Yahoo, saying that they will buy him out for over $1 billion. And he sat down, he realized that he loves what he's doing. He has, at that time, I think it was around 50 employees. And he sat there and he's like, you know what, I can't do this to the people that are working under me. This is a real business now. This is not just an idea that we had in the dorm room. We have an office and we have people who are really caring about what we are making and have a passion for this and have a drive. And he sat on that idea. And now, of course, Facebook is worth what? Over $500 billion, which is absolutely unbelievable. And you never know what will happen if you truly believe and you truly love what you are doing. So if you have an idea, if you have that inspiration, and you both know, I think, what I'm talking about, where you have an idea, absolutely. And you feel it in your heart, do not let that go, and keep riding on it, and keep working at it. And I really thought along those lines, a perfect person to ask this question to is Tom Stewart, who is actually the program manager for our very own Conquer Accelerator program here at Michigan State University, which, by the way, we will be seeing a lot of in the next season. He knows every single step from beginning, not even having an idea, to taking that idea to the very next level and putting it out onto the market. So I sat down and asked him a few questions. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, that is fantastic. So the bubble that startups seem to be infused in, how are you and how are the students on campus and what you've seen trying to break out of that?
I think here at MSU, right, like most of our programs are only 7 years old, which I think speaks volumes about us recognizing a problem early on and trying to be more intentional about how we engage students, not just students, but how we engage faculty, staff, kind of take their inventions and research and ideas and help them manifest those into real working companies. That's one way I think here locally we're doing it. I run small fund for medical startups here. So, you know, we're trying to encourage entrepreneurship on all levels. Yeah. To speak more with the slump, we have seen a lot, you know, VCs and other funds move essentially downstream, meaning they've been more interested in companies that are more mature and, you know, at mezzanine level and ready to basically either IPO or be acquired or exited in some way. We've actually shifted our focus the other way because they're leaving a gap, which more on a capitalist side, like, right, that's an opportunity for us to be engaged at an earlier level and be more a part of nurturing their success and being a part of their story. So that's one way we're kind of engaging at all levels. But again, in general, I mean, I think the other way we need to solve it, right, is that, you know, this money's got to stop moving downstream. There's a lot of opportunity, higher risk, higher reward, and we understand that. But I mean, I think in order to really fix that slump that's happening, we really got to get people to be brave and start taking chances on some of these earlier stage companies.
But yeah, we were talking a lot about just the concentration of these huge businesses and how they are kind of becoming sort of like a monopoly, even in the tech world, in the startup world, where like something like Facebook has so much power that they can literally, if a new tech company, for example, were to pop up, they can immediately just grab it up and buy it. And so that is kind of, at least in my opinion, from what I've seen, taking the bravery and taking the want from these small entrepreneurs and startups from even starting, because they know that if they get to a certain point, they may as well just be bought up or the ideas taken from a greater company.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I 100% agree with all of that. So I think, you know, acquisitions are typically positive things for the owners and investors of companies. And so an acquisition by Facebook isn't necessarily a negative thing. So you got to remember, too, you know, now, ideally, right, you've made a new group of millionaires or wealthy folks and wealthy entrepreneurs in particular. So you have, like, let take a look at like Elon Musk, right? So he sold PayPal and all he did was turn that into three new companies, right? Really, some of what's happening at Facebook, there's, you know, you could make an argument, and obviously Congress and a lot of other people have made it more better than I could, about why Facebook, might need to be broken up again. I don't know if I personally agree with that. But the other side of that argument is that more entrepreneurs we have who have kind of, you know, quote unquote, made it and then take that money and reinvest it into either another one of their companies or to the new entrepreneurs' companies, the more of that actually going on is a good thing for the entrepreneur ecosystem, because that's one way to exit. And not everybody's going to make it to an IPO or, you know, be a unicorn company. You know, like smart, reasonable exits and acquisitions by larger companies it's a good way to continue the entrepreneurial cycle. So, Elon Musk being a really famous example of that, but there are plenty of others that, you know, that we don't even know about.
Of course.
Who, you know, get acquired by these companies, and sure, they're kind of beasts, the acquirers, but then these other entrepreneurs just turn around and they have the capital to, you know, encourage others, not just themselves. They could do their own thing, but they also have the ability now to invest in other people's entrepreneur endeavors too. So I think mostly it's a good thing. We always have to be careful about the power of some of the larger companies, but I'm probably more of a pure capitalist than some. And, you know, I just generally don't think what's going on with Facebook and Amazon and is really problematic.
Of course.
At least not yet.
And this is fantastic too. Yeah. At the beginning of the podcast, we actually talked about the opposite side, just like I started. But along those lines, along the lines of people buying and selling companies, along the lines of just starting out, what do you think, at least from what you have seen in the field, what are the steps for a modern startup to succeed?
The first one, and I don't think I'm new or first to the race on this, but like grit. I mean, everybody talks about grit, which really, you know, like is resourcefulness and patience and stuff like that. That's really, I think, the number one trait we're looking for in companies and teams and people, because you're going to get punched in the mouth a lot starting a company, and you're going to hear no way more times than you're going to hear yes. And you kind of need the stick-to-itiveness, and you got to be crafty on how you raise money and how you get customers, and that all kind of rolls into grit. So that's like the number one thing we look at. And then a lot of it is do they have technical experts? Do they have the ability to do it? Do they have proven track records, or at least some killer talent on their team? Really the idea honestly comes last. It's obviously important that there's a market for it and that it's going to be changing, something that can maybe disrupt a market. But even then, you know, we're looking for, at least through Conquer, we're looking for base hits. We're not looking for necessarily unicorns. We have the advantage to be able to do that because we're backed by the university and
of course.
Can get smaller wins and look from that perspective.
From that as well, are the Conquer Accelerator participants usually students at Michigan State University, or are they from all over?
The majority of Conquer Accelerator teams are student teams from Michigan State University. If they're not that, they're probably affiliated with the university in some way, so either faculty, staff, or like alumni groups. And then if they're not that, then they're probably a referral from one of the first two groups.
I'm fairly new to the whole entrepreneurial side of campus. Like I was very into the media realm, and I heard about the Hatch a little bit, and then I met with Aaron, and of course he hired me onto the team, and I've been learning a lot more now. And so there, of course, there's the Hatch on campus, there's Conquer Accelerator over the summer, but what else can students do on campus if they have that great idea, if they have that great innovation that they feel they want to take to the next level?
Pretty much hit it on the head. The first thing they should do is come to the Hatch. I mean, like, that's their first point
of course.
Involvement. We have the other thing, you know, we have an entrepreneurship minor. You know, you can argue whether or not you can teach entrepreneurship, though. So, obviously, I tip my own hand that I teach in that class as well. But, That's one way. I mean, if that's really like the kind of before the Hatch, if you're really looking to see if entrepreneurship is for you, you can take our intro class, Business 190. That's not a traditional academic course. It's very hands-on. It's very experiential learning. So we make people do things, not just learn about the theory, because, you know, entrepreneurship is a hands-on sport. Yeah. So you don't really learn anything from a lecture on entrepreneurship, you actually have to try to do it. And that's where people find out, I mean, you know, I think I'm actually a majority, right, of people aren't really equipped to be entrepreneurs. And that's not a judgment, good or bad. It's just there's a lot of people crave structure.
And
there is none of that in entrepreneurship. It's a lot of handling the unknown. And that's why we talk about grit, because you know, every day is going to be different. It's also kind of a manic depressive industry, right? Like, oh, it's either your best day or your worst day, or you can go from it being your best day to your worst day in the same day. So you have to have a thick skin and a lot of stick-to-itiveness, and that's not for everyone.
Yeah, over the summer, actually, last year, I started my own, like, kind of clothing business based on, because I'm more in the photography realm, but I took my photos and some of my favorite quotes and stuff like that, put it on shirts, and it was just, like, starting from not knowing anything about selling my own product to having a website, having advertisements every day, having a social media accounts dedicated just to this, and teaching myself that you can do as much as you can just going on the internet and searching, like, how do you do whatever business you want to go into. If you were working in, like, a media sector and you were like, I got a new camera, how do I work this? You can look up, how do you work the Canon 5D Mark II? Yeah. Boom. Full articles, YouTube videos, how do you use the software, of course.
We were talking before you kind of started the recording about the slump, but that actually surprised me. And part of it is also because, like Gary Vee says, like, this is the best time to be an entrepreneur. Like, it's the easiest, best time. Technology makes it so much easier for people to engage in entrepreneurship than ever before, because of stuff that you're just outlining, like, there's just so much information available on the web for you to get started. You know, some of it is experience, so you just kind of have to go out there and do it, but also to get started, the internet makes that so much more possible. And then if you're a college age kid or in your, you know, early to mid 20s, like, the other side of it is there's just, you have almost nothing to lose. So if you're interested in entrepreneurship on any level in your early to mid 20s, you know, get out there and experiment and do it. It's just so easy, so much easier to do it than it was before. And I'm not even that old. If you're into entrepreneurship, there's, you know, there's really just no excuse to,
of course, get into it. And that is actually perfect. The final question is, what do you think lies ahead in the whole realm? Like, we have the major companies up there, the major tech companies who have, at least it seems, all the power. Do you think there's going to be another major front runner like Facebook, like Google, like Amazon that is coming? Like, what do you think is in the future?
I'll be more generalized on it. I think, you know, the next trends or the trends that are happening have a lot more to do with like time arbitrage, apps and services that are essentially giving people back their time. So things like Uber Eats, which is already kind of picking up, but any app that basically gives people more freedom in exchange for, you know, a fee. I think those are the types of companies that are really gonna pop in the next decade.
With the growing power of the world's largest companies and the decline of small businesses, especially in the tech industry, one should feel no inspiration towards creating their own ideas and companies, right? But that's not the case. Now is better than ever to get out there and start working on the next idea, whether that be social media related, app-based, or within technology as a whole. As a population, especially in the United States, we are so infatuated by the current modes of communication that if something new, exciting, and revolutionary were to break out, the population and community would be running at it full force. Now is the perfect time to begin digging in and creating. This new generation of thinkers is what's going to lead us into the next innovation revolution, whatever that may be. With the endless connections we are able to make in a matter of seconds, now is the perfect time to get your idea off the ground. Although we're experiencing a small worldwide slump in startups, that doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. We can change that. In fact, we should change that. That's why here at Michigan State University, we're working hard to build an ecosystem where students feel like they can take risks, experiment, and then bring their ideas to market. Over and over again, we've seen the Hatch, our student startup incubator, grow in size. And that shows us that students are interested in either working for a startup, in a startup, or starting their own companies. There are revolutionary ideas that are coming out, but not everything has to be a blow your socks off idea. We are living in an age where we are experiencing so much connectivity. With the endless connections we are able to make in a matter of seconds, it is now. It is now that is the perfect time to get your idea off the ground. Nobody knows what the future holds. If you're an entrepreneur, it's a risky business. But the fact is, we need you. You help us have a successful society and economy, and you help further ideas and innovations, and you can change the world. Today, I am so pleased to say thank you to our listeners. You are incredibly important to us. We're going to be taking a break, and we'll be coming back to you in early September as classes begin. We really appreciate the commitment that you've made by pressing play. We'd like to hear from you, so please don't hold back. If you would, please just email us at hatchcastpodcast@gmail.com. I would like to give special thanks to our producers, Emily Anderson and Gabe Hales. Thank you so much, and we can't wait for you to come back to the Hatchcast.